was Marv Levy in Buffalo with a big victory yesterday. It's interesting. It seems as if, as our friend Tom Jackson said last night on ESPN's Primetime and the Blitz, it looks like Buffalo may be beginning to get it. We're going to have Tom on the show on Friday to go into more detail about some of the teams that are getting it and some of them that are falling apart in this topsy-turvy NFL season. But let's go back into this, shall we say, report card on teams and free agency. And let's move on to Carlos Lee, Jim Beattie. Jim Beattie has been a general manager for the Expos and vice president with the Orioles. And would you have gone after a Carlos Lee in this situation?
Well, Carlos Lee was, I think, probably the best bat other than Soriano in the free agency, and Carlos Lee had a Texas tie. But I think one of the reasons they wanted to tie him up early is they had one of the bottom-performing offenses last year, and in order to convince Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit that maybe they should think about coming back and pitching another year, they went out and got one of the best bats to help their offense. The other things they've got to do to build up that lineup, they're trying to get done quickly, and I think that's all part and parcel of trying to convince Clemens and Pettit to come on back. You're going to have a better club behind you.
And do you think that's enough? Do you think that Clemens is ready, A, for another year in general, and B, that that's enough for them? Because there was a time, that first 6 weeks that he was back, when they weren't scoring anything.
Well, I mean, he had about a 7-6 with about a 2.3 ERA last year, and he's a six-inning pitcher, there's no doubt about it, but you know, if they pay him $10 or $11 million for his 18 to 20 starts, that might not be a bad return for a guy that's going to give you that kind of performance. And if their bullpen stays strong, they score some more runs, Roger may be saying, I like this better. And obviously the big, the big apple for Roger that they're holding out in front of him is the fact, and Pettit as well, as they both live in Houston, and they do want to stay there if they feel it's going to be a competitive club.
Let's talk about Moises Alou, 40 years of age. It's as if the 40-year barrier has been cracked, too, not just for pitchers but also for hitters. Here's a guy that in 98 games, he had basically the same numbers as Gary Matthews Jr., 301 batting average, 22 home runs, 74 RBIs, and that seems to strengthen the middle of their lineup. They had a lot of problems, the Mets did, against left-handed pitching. Would you have thought this was a good move?
Well, one thing about Alou is he's done it year in and year out when he's healthy. And I had Mo in Montreal, and he's an exceptional offensive player. At that point, he was a very good defensive player, but I think his legs have gotten a little older than the rest of the body. His hands are still working extremely well. And when he's in the lineup and healthy, he can be a force and drive runs in. He does know how to hit. He hits to all parts of the field. He's got some power that they can rely on. He's not necessarily a 3-4-5 bat, but you put him in maybe a 6 and a 7 slot with their lineup in New York, and he's going to be a very strong bet for them. Really, for me, the only thing there that they have to take a look at, the reason he only played in 98 games is he did have some health problems last year. They have to be satisfied that they're okay with him maybe playing 100 to 110 ball games and staying maybe on the DL once or twice during the season. Obviously, they feel good about that. But Alou is a fine player, and I think he'll step in and probably be a plus for them over what they replaced in Cliff Floyd in left field.
And he provides some power. What about the argument that you want to stack your talent, that Andy Chavez was really better coming off the bench as a fourth outfielder? Is that a good thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think people realize that Chavez is mostly a defensive player. He made some great plays in the championship series. But he's a guy that can come in. He is learning how to bunt better. He could get on base. He can be a base stealer. But he's a spark plug, and I don't think at this point, he may be 2 or 3 years down the road, the next Gary Matthews Jr. Gary, as you know, he played for 6 years, but he's played for about 6 or 7 clubs. So Andy Chavez is a favorite of Omar Minaya, probably growing on Willie Randolph too at this point. So he's a guy that's a great guy to come off the bench, pinch run, go in defensively, which they'll probably do with Moises Alou at the end of the game just based on his range these days.
And then you've got a big signing with the Dodgers. Pierre was in Chicago last year. He had the most hits in the league, 58 steals. You always are, I think, adding a lot of depth when you add speed to a team as well. How important is this to the Dodgers?
Well, 2 years ago, before Pierre went to Chicago, he was coming off a great season. He was a very solid, fine player He had a bad year in 2005, and the GOAT really was available to Chicago because of that. He went there and resurrected himself, got himself going again. He's a very fine player, and especially with that speed off there, as you know, he does know how to utilize his speed offensively and defensively. He's a plus out there. So when you could take the middle of your defensive alignment, you've got a strong center fielder, you've got a strong second baseman, shortstop, and a catcher. That really helps defensively, and defense and pitching are what the Dodgers have been about for years and years.
And how much does it improve, when you say defense, the greater reins that he has in the J.D. Drew? Is there any way for you as the general manager to measure that and its impact on your team, the runs allowed, et cetera?
Oh, sure. They've got metrics out there these days that go out and they take a look at range. They take a look at balls he could have gotten to, balls he did get to. Defensively, I'm not sure. I think it's a step up over J.D. Drew, but offensively, it's a different component. They're doing it with speed as opposed to some power in the lineup. But the one thing about Pierre is he has been a very healthy player. J.D. Drew, who it sounds like the Boston Red Sox are going after to put in their outfield, he is a guy that has played well when he's been healthy, but he has had some health concerns that have seemed to settle in the last couple of years, but still are out there when he gets to play every day.
And somebody who's durable as well. I mean, 648 games the last 4 years, tied for first, 810 hits, third, 45 triples, 225 steals, the best in the league in the last 4 years. So certainly it was not the most extravagant of expenses when you compare it with Soriano. Do you think this move with Chicago, which desperately needed to make a statement with the very disappointing year last year, do you think Chicago's made most of the right moves, given that they've really spent a great deal of money and maybe limited some of their other options down the road?
Well, Chicago needs to do more than just Soriano, and obviously one of the bigger things they did was bring in Lou Piniella. And I know Lou's on the phone every day to Jim Hendry telling him, we need to do this, we need to do that. I worked with Lou in Seattle, and he is a guy that stays on top of the players that are out there. He talks to the players, he calls free agents. He's very active in trying to help to put his team together. I know Lou wants to improve. He wants to do some things over there in Chicago to make that club better. And I know Jim Hendry, in the last year of a contract, is trying to do many of those same things. And they need to do a lot more than Soriano. It's a big bat in their lineup. They did re-sign Ramirez for third base, but they need to find some pitching that's going to help them stay in every ball game a little bit better than they've had. They've got the question marks with Wood and Pryor health-wise, and to replace those two guys healthy, they're in fine shape. But those two guys aren't healthy, and they can't really be counted on. They need to go out and find some pitching to replace all that.
Let's talk about the big free agents, Barry Zito and Schmidt and Glavin. We know that basically about 4 weeks remain in the true free agency period. The general managers, you've told me, like to go back to Christmas and feel like they can spend some time with their families, having done their homework as well. What do you predict is going to happen now that we're moving into the big free agent time?
Well, I think the players like to be signed by Christmas, too. The general managers know they've got some more time. Teams do, but it's really the players that want to sit around that Christmas tree and know where they're going next year and have that kind of taken off. But as you said earlier, what's gone on is they've gone after second and third tier free agents, teams have to sign these guys and get them done. If they strike out at some of the bigger guys, they've got some pieces that help fill out their roster. And then the other guys that feel they can't do any of that are making trades. Generally, you sign free agents, then you make trades. You don't have to give up any players when you sign free agents. Nowadays, some teams are thinking, I'm not sure we can afford some of these free agents. We're going to make some trades, as you saw with the Diamondbacks and the Brewers the other day. They made a six-player swap.
And finally, your favorite team, the last 15, 20 seconds, the Orioles have gone after two setup pitchers. How much is that going to help them?
Well, their bullpen was a spotty thing last year, except for Chris Ray. They had a couple guys that were young. They traded Chris Britton, who was very solid, and they need to be able to shore that up. Their starting rotation is young, but getting better. They need to improve their offense. They're going to have that pitching. They better improve their defense, too.
Well, Jim Beattie, my friend, as always, a superlative summary. We'll check in with you in a few days and see how things have progressed, and appreciate all that you do for us. And we know that you're going to be a general manager with a team that has the intelligence to see just what you bring to it very soon. Thank you, sir.
Best to you and yours. Take care.
That's Jim Beattie. We'll be right back with Monday Morning Quarterback with the legendary Len Dawson. Stay tuned to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite Sports Byline.